Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. This is the hard-hitting broadcast for July 5th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is Hour 2 at 2, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property. And to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. We use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, for the United States of America as our guide. We're convinced the checks and balances put in place by the founders are absolutely brilliant. We reject revolution, but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're doing fantastic. We talked about pro-life last hour. Tremendous broadcast. A very famous singer prays to God for a baby and gets one. Wow, you got to like that. She's with her husband. The mainstream press doesn't want to talk about that. They want to just talk about the next girl that gets drunk and who knows does what and whatever and life's a meltdown and whatever. But we want to stand for good things, good people doing good things everywhere. Speaking of that, I got an article that I'm really disappointed in. Of course, it came from the New York Times National Desk, Kurt. And the headline says, for sale, team with few fans. And a sweet stadium. Did you see this article, Kurt? Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam. I don't remember this article, Sam.
No?
No.
Come on, Kurt.
Tell me again the headline.
Well, it's from the New York Times,
mm-hmm.
And it says, for sale, team with few fans, but a sweet stadium.
Oh, man.
Can you guess what's going on here without any more information, sir?
It's massive government, spending project.
Yes, sir.
And, there you go.
So here's what happened. Well, we're talking about the Marlins, Kurt. You know who they are, right?
Florida Marlins.
Yeah, yes, sir. And they're down there, and they want to build this awesome new stadium, but they say, we don't have the money. Can't afford it. And the government says, no problem. We'll just, lower the boom on the people and issue a bond. And, it turns out that the Marlins said they couldn't afford to build a stadium on their own. The government chimed in. This one guy tried to prevent it, but he was outvoted. Miami-Dade County is where we're talking about, the Hanging Chad country, liberals running around everywhere. Well, in the midst of the recession, the city and the county agreed to pay for about three quarters, Kurt, of the $650 million needed. Now, understand, they knew that the team would keep all the revenue from the building. Well, it turns out now the city and the county are going to end up paying over $2 billion over the life of the bonds on the stadium, making it what they call one of the more lopsided deals in professional sports. Now, here's the problem, Kurt. The owner, the guy's name is Jeffrey Loria. And Jeffrey Loria, he wants to sell the Marlins now, Kurt, for an estimated $1.2 billion. Eight times the amount that he paid for the franchise in the first place. And, the problem is they say this guy might make hundreds of millions of dollars, Kurt. But people are wondering now, does he have the right to make the hundreds of millions of dollars when the taxpayers have been fleeced for almost $2 billion with this thing? And the problem that you have is this socialist lie in the first place. Now, they say that this new incredible stadium, which opened in 2012, has substantially added to the value of the team. And they say this guy will probably walk away with Kurt close to a half a billion dollars in his pocket. Now, they say the problem with his Marlins scenario is it's turned into a major distraction for the whole baseball league. And, well, I guess this county commissioner's eager to push the deal through. The problem is, Kurt, people are mad. And I guess Tad Romney, the son of Mitt, is involved in this thing somehow. Jeb Bush was involved. See, all these bureaucrats and politicians and professional do-gooders are involved. They say the negotiations are still fluid in this case, Kurt. Now, they say unlike most teams going through a sale, the Marlins haven't even hired an investment bank to help broker the deal. Admitting this step, by the way, Kurt, will save the Marlins from having to pay a hefty commission. But they say it's less than a fluid process as a result. And even though the baseball league is anxious to have the deal done, this Mr. Laureate, yeah, this Laureate guy, well, he wants to wait. Because if he waits a little longer, according to the contract, he will not have to give the city or the county a 5% share of profits when he sells the team. Now, most folks can't meet the demands of this high-priced, highfalutin sale, Kurt, and so the price has fallen, to a $1.2 billion deal. It was started out at a $1.8 billion deal, but nobody can align the investors and come up with the cash to get this deal done. Now, believe it or not, Kurt, after all this, the Marlins, well, they draw the fewest fans in the whole league, by the way. And they got over $400 million in debt. That's near the league's maximum, by the way. And the Marlins haven't even had a winning season in 8 years, really, Kurt. Now, believe it or not, in Miami, few businesses have even built around this Marlins Park because it's surrounded on all sides by parking garages. That, in effect, literally create a fortress around the stadium. In fact, the only people near the stadium who seem to have benefited are the homeowners that steal parking from the garages. They charge $15 for people to park in their driveways. And the bottom line is the homeowners, everybody's just disappointed. This thing's just been an absolute colossal failure, Kurt. Now, because this is Solutions Radio, I thought Kurt Crosby could maybe help him out, Kurt. You could help him negotiate this thing right on through and find solutions for him. What do you think?
Well, yeah. Now, we can't really go back and correct what they did in the past, spend all this taxpayer money on something that should have never spent, right? But the one thing we can say is that, I believe the taxpayers ought to be paid back. There shouldn't be this kind of stuff going on in the future. By the way, it looks like the Marlins just beat the St. Louis Cardinals. They're fourth in the National League.
That was on the
League
fourth
East,
they played,
the
or
way.
They play this morning, Kurt?
It was yesterday. Like you said, the taxpayers shouldn't be the ones paying for these professionals to do that. That's not part of the government, part of the proper role of government. It's a whole different story when individuals want to choose to do what they want with their money, whether it's a really rich guy or a poor guy. Let them choose that, and they'll make good choices.
What I find is the moral hazard here when you do this stuff. So let me give you an example of this Mr. Laureate guy. Not only is he going to pocket a big bunch of bucks, but here's how he got the Marlins in the first place back in 2002. You ready?
All right.
He got proceeds from the sale of the Montreal expos and a subsidy from Major League Baseball. See?
There you go.
Now, what happened is then right after they won this, I guess they won their second World Series title right after he bought the Marlins, but then this guy traded off a bunch of players, and then he said, well, I don't really have the money to buy the or get the top talent that we need. But here's the problem. You continue to ratchet up the cost of stadiums and the cost of teams and the cost of players when you get all these subsidies and game plan going on here. It just drives the cost through the roof. We see that in government education, and we see that in so many areas, Kurt. Same moral hazard here. Liberty Roundtable Live in seconds.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Every day I wake up, it's almost like a battle. It's like, well, you know, I could do this today. I could go get drunk.
I don't like beer. I'm an alcoholic because I can't, you know, stop drinking because it alters my mind, but I don't like alcohol.
And I had to keep telling myself that, you know, this is okay. Everybody does this. My whole life was just a big lie.
I can't control if I do take that drink because I'm an addict and I can't.
I admit it's messed me up.
I don't have a very good memory. I have a hard time remembering things when I learn them.
I can't concentrate on one thing for more than 5 or 10 minutes. You have fun until you hit rock bottom and it's not fun anymore.
I remember sitting in assemblies about drugs and I thought, that's never going to happen to me. I'm never going to be like those kids. Here I am.
The choices that you make are choices you're going to have to live with.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with Elias, Sam, and Kurt talking about this Marlins Stadium. One of the big problems, they say, Kurt, is the stifling heat down there in Miami. People just don't want to go to the game. It's so fetching hot outside that people just can't stand to sit in the stadium. And so it's a beautiful stadium, but it was ill-planned, ill-advised, ill-spent, ill-subsidized. And this basically owner, this Loria guy, he's just going to get rich and walk away and leave the taxpayer holding the bag. But, folks, the answer to this, the solution, the reason we bring it up is, look, you don't get government involved in this in the first place. When this Jeff Loria guy came around, you already saw that he, you know, got proceeds from selling the Montreal whatever, and then he had a subsidy from this. He had subsidies before. This guy's made his living by getting subsidies. Now, Donald Trump's done a lot of this as well. We've got to get government moral hazard out of the business world, Kurt. The government shouldn't have anything to do with these leagues building these stadiums. If they can afford it, build it. If you can't, then you better play in a smaller, you know, facility. And if you can't justify a facility, maybe there's not support for a team to be there in the first place, Kurt. And, you know, a lot of the basketball teams move around to different places because cities can't support them or whatever else. And, you know, I look at that in the same way, and maybe it just doesn't make any sense. Maybe somebody, you know, in a more mellow climate would do better with a baseball stadium or whatever, but it's just so stifling, so humid, so I just don't understand what they were thinking. But this is a massive, colossal fiasco. We highlight it because the solutions are getting government out of it in the first place. Let the free market work, and if people want to play baseball, let them. And if people can afford to fund baseball, let them. Kurt?
That's right. I guess according to bizjournals.com, this Lori guy bought the franchise in 2002. What's that, 15 years ago? Bought it for $158 million, and now it's up for sale for the $1.3 billion. That's
almost 10 times the amount. It's down from the $1.8 where they started, though, Kurt, too.
Yeah, I guess. But the former New York Yankees shortstop, Derek Jeter, looks like the favored pick of the owner. But, I mean, if you can sell something for like 10 times what you bought it for.
But, Kurt, what they ought to do is they ought to just bring back and say, listen incredible. To this guy. But, again, they contractually probably created a snafu here, and they probably can't. What they ought to say, though, is this guy's not going to get a penny above what he got paid for it until the taxpayers are completely paid back.
Well, that would be the only fair thing, you know.
They shouldn't have ever invested in it in the first place. And what the contract says, I don't know. So, you know, the problem. But the reason I bring this all up is, Kurt, you got the same scenario with a little golf course in your little teeny town. The same scenario.
Right.
You're stuck with a pig and a poke, and you can't solve it. And the citizens are so divided, there's just no good solution. And anybody who proposes any solutions, like a racist and an enemy and a Frida, you know, they hate government and they're, you know, anti-government. They're just. Yep. How do you even deal with these things? The society is so deceived, so manipulated, so hooked on socialist candy that they just can't see straight. And the Marlins have the same problem you have, just on a bigger scale, I guess, right?
Yep, it's a great point, Sam.
All right, any other tidbits on this piece?
You know, I don't see, I mean, like you said, Tag Romney, I guess that's the son of Mitt, is... in some ways involved, but they say he just doesn't have enough money.
Well, you ought to talk to Daddy Warbucks. Talk to Mitt.
I mean, imagine if you bought a house for $158,000 and 10 years later you got to buy it for, or I guess it's 15 years, you got to buy it for $1.5 million.
Well, 1.2 or 3 down from the 1.8, yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy talk. The whole thing is psychotic. Hopefully the price will fall like a rock and people will get stuck off stupid and get this fixed. But, Kurt, this issue is serious. And what we're about to do is leave Miami and go straight to San Francisco for the same old stupidity, Kurt.
Yeah. Now, San Francisco, they got a way to help people save money, Sam. They call it Saver Life. And...
They're Saver Life.
That's right. They say it's kind of dangerous there because it's, you know, it's expensive. And they say it takes $110,000 plus a year to live comfortably there. So, you know, they say some San Francisco families, they say 47% of them, they're financially insecure. So what's their solution? Well, they're going to, you know, they call it help people.
As long as we're on the fiat money system, Kurt, everybody's financially insecure.
Yep, yep, good point. And so now they can earn $10 a month in rewards and claim this $60 at the end of 6 months of continuous savings. So the way you work it, they recruited 1,000 people to participate in this campaign. That gives these participants $60 if they save $20 a month for 6 months. You know, it wouldn't surprise me to find out that San Francisco's way in the hole money-wise themselves. But anyway, they say it's about smoothing life's emergencies. What we find, they say, is that big goals sometimes throw people off from squirreling away small amounts. Has that happened with you, Sam?
Squirreling away small amounts. Well, I squirrel away any amount I can get. Most of it is small.
Right.
Yes, indeed. But to me, though, you really think this is going to help people save anything, Kurt?
No, it's just
because saving oftentimes
program.
Isn't a situation of whether you have money to save or not. It's whether you plan to save or not. In other words, most of it is what you do with your money, not whether you get the money in the first place.
Yeah, now they say, Sam, that this one guy, he's a laid-off software engineer. He works 3 jobs to help support his family of 5. He saved $60 so far through the program, but the amount he saved wasn't the most important result. He said it was the fact that he's gotten into the habit of putting away money every month. It's not just the program, it's the afterward. The habit is developed for 6 months, so you'll continue to do it, and there's a lasting effect. Now, some say, well, see, this is a good thing, Kurt. Now, I would simply say this, okay? We have nothing against families saving money. But when the government does programs like this, it's not what government's supposed to do, right, Sam?
Well, that's for sure. And I guess what I don't understand, though, Kurt, is, and I'm going to use an example that you use quite often because it's so valid. You know, with minimum wage, you're like, hey, why don't we just pay everybody $100 an hour, right? So I'm just saying, why would they stop at giving people like $10, Kurt?
Good point.
Why not just give everybody like $1 million? If you gave people $1 million and they saved it, you'd just solve it. The second you gave them $1 million, that'd be set, Kurt. You know what I mean? I mean, if you just gave everybody a bank account with $1 million in it, everybody would just be done.
Well, yeah, and America would be a wonderful place. One of the paragraphs, they say, one family's precarious finances can lead to evictions and unpaid property taxes and utility bills. You know, those are all government taxes, sounds like to me, which in turn creates costly problems for the city, such as homelessness, lost property tax revenue, and lost revenue from utility bills to pay for infrastructure. All told, the financial instability of San Francisco families ends up costing the city government and in turn taxpayers $24 million, somewhere between $24 and $54 million a year. So their solution is to give people some money so that they wouldn't be low on cash. Is that right, Sam?
Yes. But again, in a debt...
Insanity.
In a debt-based society, how does all that work?
Good point. But the real solution here is let the people keep their money. Let them save their money. Have government spend less of it. You know, don't be saying, well, we got to do this because sometimes people can't pay their property taxes, their utility bills, and it costs us big money to do that. I mean, there you go, San Francisco. Wow.
I mean, it's just crazy. Now, Kurt, the bigger the city, the more the insanity, as you've often heard. Now, you understand down there in Florida, they're doing something else interesting, Kurt. They're a bunch of racists down there.
Really?
I guess commissioners... they call them city commissioners in Florida. They're going to be changing the names of streets down there, Kurt. Did you see this?
Well, I heard that they were going to put some of the, you know, Confederate leaders on the streets.
Well, they have these Confederate generals, and some of the streets are named after those guys.
Yeah.
Now, understand this is in the heart of an African-American neighborhood, Kurt.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you what racist allowed an African-American neighborhood to be created.
Good point.
I mean, wouldn't you have to be racist to allow one of those to even exist and be created in the first place?
Well, it sure seems like.
And who let those African-Americans go off on their own and create their own neighborhood, Kurt?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are people thinking? But anyway, now, I don't know who then abused this African-American group, this neighborhood over there, and named their cities after these, like, Confederate slave-owning generals. But we're talking about Hollywood City, Florida, Kurt. You know, Holly Warped is where everything crazy happens.
Oh,
details,
yeah,
in seconds, my friend.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. California gets called a lot of things. A lot of things get debated in the Golden State. In the latest debate, the Senate passed a $400 billion bill setting up a single-payer health care system. Some critics call it socialized medicine. The bill has been shelled by the Democratic Speaker of the California State Assembly, who pointed out that the Senate bill didn't provide any method of funding the system. As a result, the speaker has received threats and is being widely attacked. Some choose to ignore the fact that California is on the verge of bankruptcy, and that kind of medical plan, some critics say, hasn't worked anywhere in the world, that kind of medicine has been tried. Thousands of people are calling for the impeachment of President Trump, some members of Congress drafting a bill to impeach, but many pundits say that a lot of people don't understand what impeachment is and why it could or could not be justified. Some say until the provisions of the Constitution talking about the president and impeachment are fully defined, well, we may never know what high crimes and what misdemeanors are. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. If you want a win-win opportunity for patriots, we present a solution. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. We the people do hereby request the immediate assistance of President Trump, Congress, media outlets, and freedom organizations to defend all innocent Americans. There is no liberty with innocence in prison. Please sign our petition, thefreedomcoalition.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
So we're talking about Hollywood City, Florida. They say it's an African-American community. Whoever allowed that to be the case, in my opinion, is a racist. If we're going to go with the current logic of today, now, personally, I believe that communities ought to be able to be formed by anybody who wants to. And if a bunch of white people want to live together, or black people, or whoever, let them. We should have free association, folks. Nevertheless, then they named all these streets after these Confederate generals, Kurt, and now people are freaking out, saying this is an outrage. How do you grow up if you're a black mother telling your daughter that she lives on Nathan Bedford Forest Street? I mean, he was a Ku Klux Klan member. He wants to see them hung from the nearest tree branch. Okay, then they just start spinning off these lies. Confederate General Robert E. Lee Street, Kurt, they want to change. So they want to change the names of all these streets, Kurt. Did you see this article?
Well, they say they voted 5-2 recently. The commissioners are going to vote again on August 30th when they come back from their summer break. Under the current plans, this is according to the Sun Sentinel down there, Forest Street will become Savannah Street, Hood Street will change to Macon, and Lee will become Louisville. All three streets extend through the entire city, but only two, Forest and Hood, run through the predominantly black Liberia neighborhood. The long-running controversy, anyway, they go more and more, but that'll just make everything all...
The reason I bring it up is they're just crazy. First off, they're, in my opinion, destroying history, Kurt. And how did those streets get those names in the first place, Kurt? And you know what they're going to tell you, don't you?
They're going to tell you that somebody named them?
A bunch of white racists forced this on the black community. See? Some white heterosexual male somewhere just absolutely forced his will. I mean, it was almost akin to a rape is what they'll say, Kurt. See? And there you have it. But city commissioners in Florida have agreed to begin the process of changing the names of streets named for Confederate generals in the heart of an African-American community.
I guess they got some rule that says the city's own policy that requires that property owners on the streets receive mail ballots and vote on the matter. But they, you know, they changed that for this thing special. You know, they didn't really want to have the people vote. The commissioners want to go ahead and do it the way they want to do it.
Now, Kurt, you know we syndicate Jesse Lee Peterson's radio program, right?
Yeah.
And Jesse Lee Peterson is a black Christian.
He calls himself an unhyphenated American, I think he calls himself.
Yeah, I don't know if he calls himself that, but he certainly doesn't believe racism exists. Yeah. Racism doesn't exist and it's never existed, says Jesse.
Hmm.
Now, it's Lloyd Marcus that calls himself an unhyphenated American.
Oh, that's right.
But they're
Sorry,
friends.
I get them all mixed up.
Well, they're friends and they're on the same side of reality as we are. Mm-hmm. And Jesse debates all kinds of people and says there's no such thing as racism, Kurt.
Very good.
And do you think there's racism, Kurt? What do you think about this?
Well, I think that people like the mainstream media that like to, you know, get people mad at each other. They like to promote this kind of idea. But, you know, to me, like you said, I thought freedom was about, you know, having people choose where they want to be and put what they want on their signs. You know, we don't need the federal government or any other big government telling us what street sign we got to name our street, you know. But interesting stuff, huh?
Now, Jesse Lee Peterson says the reasons that blacks suffer, Kurt, is because they're immoral. So Jesse says that racism does not exist. It's a lie created by liberals. And it's a cover-up for immorality. And Jesse Lee even explains this to Sean Hannity. And he says we will never, ever erase racism because it doesn't exist. Only morality exists, Kurt. And immorality. And so he talks about, look, if you're unkind to somebody or think that you're above somebody, it's pride. It's evil. It's a sin. And racism doesn't really exist. And he talks about this reality about, you know, if you think you're better than somebody else, it's really just pride fueling your sin-based behavior. And then he compares it to Jesus Christ. And the question is Jesus Christ a racist? He was the sinless man, and if he was racist, and if it was a sin, then Jesus Christ would have sinned, right, Kurt? And so since Jesus That's Christ did
point.
Not sin, he cannot be a racist, and therefore, well, how do you go there? If we all do our best to follow Christ and we become like Jesus Christ, in other words, follow the Christian admonitions, it's impossible for us to be racist. And so the answer is the rejection of sin. And the solution is to do our very best to not sin. And this race is nothing but a sideshow designed to divide people, to destroy people, and to justify immorality. As if there's a victimless crime, so to speak. Liberals made up the word racism to cover up immorality. Blacks suffer because they're immoral. And you know what? I think that it's true, Kurt. Immorality causes all the suffering we experience. It's sin of man that causes these inequities and these problems. And you know what? Racism is just a divide tactic. It's kind of like this misogyny idea between male and female, Kurt. Same scenario.
I like massages. I mean, I think massages
Wait,
are
Kurt,
pretty cool.
That's not the right word.
Oh. Yeah, there's all these new words.
Don't they call it misogyny?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm. And the problem is, see, they want to basically act like you can't help it. You're white. You're a male. Therefore, you hate women or you, you know, have this attitude. But what Jesse Lee would say is that's a lie. That's a made-up word to divide the sexes. And the truth is there's none of that going on. Because all it is sin. Kurt, and you're just renaming sin in a way that tries to act like there's no way to resolve it, that the division is complete. In fact, anytime you're involved with your wife, it's really a rape, is what the feminists would say, Kurt. And then they would basically say that, you know, you can't help it. There's no way you can get out of it. You're just a racist and a misogynist and a whatever. And, okay, and Jesse would say that's all a big lie. It's all sin. And the sooner we learn to call it what it is, and the sooner we learn to unify on this idea that we can repent and change and follow Christ, we'll never get anywhere with these debates. Kurt, I think he's right. We need to unify on God's law and follow the master of peace and healing if we want to be healed. Anyway, any thoughts on that?
You know, I don't know what to add. It just seems like, it's kind of back to the same old stuff, that good guys are good guys and bad guys are bad guys. So I don't care what color they are, and we should... try to be good and not be bad, and, you know, follow the Prince of Peace and be friends to all people, you know? Hey.
Wow.
Kind of boring, I know, but...
All right. I guess European Trade Chief says U.S. risks opening Pandora's box, Kurt. Should we drill into this one?
Yeah, what they're saying is, if you guys start charging us, tariffs and stuff, hey, we'll charge you back. As far as I can see, that's exactly the point of, having your own country, is you can choose, who to, deal with, etc. And, So, let the trade, not wars, but the trade negotiations, move forward. And I think people should be able to choose who they, how they want to trade with other countries, just like people, dealing with maybe their neighbor or customer. They should be able to figure that out themselves. We don't need to... government to tell us how to do it. And they talk like these tariffs are so evil, and yet that's the way the founding fathers set it up, and it's a great way to negotiate with other countries.
Amen to that. Pandora's box or not, the sooner we stand up for the principles, the better. Hey Kurt, do you know who Joey Chestnut is?
No.
You'll know in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, Joey Chestnut, ladies and gentlemen, is that skinny hot dog eating master. All right, now Nathan's hot dog eating contest is on the 4th of July curtain. They busted that sucker out yesterday. This Joey Chestnut dude ate 72 hot dogs, breaking the world's record. He created the world's record last year at 70, and this year he beat it by two. He was going for 80. But he only ate 72 of the dogs. And there you go. I guess they soak those suckers in water and then just slam them down, buddy.
Wow.
Nobody even comes close to eating the amount of hot dogs this dude does. I guess the next guy was like four or six or something crazy dogs behind or whatever. And just massive macking down the hot dogs, bro. Now, if you're not keeping up on this, Kurt, you're not up on reality TV and entertainment or anything. What's wrong with you?
Good point. Good point. Yeah, I'm woefully uninformed, when it comes to the hot dog, competitions.
I don't know why you're not on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It's a good question, you know what I mean? Sam, it looks like news department. Yeah.
Stick with this hot dog eating thing, Kurt.
All right.
About this for a second.
Doggone.
This is just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Kurt, here's what's fascinating to me. Our buddy, Amish farmer, Sam Girod, cannot sell chickweed because it might harm somebody.
Right.
Right?
That's
now,
what
it didn't harm anybody. It might harm somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, check this out. But they're allowing this hot dog eating contest to go on where this dude can pound down 72 hot dogs. Wow. Soak those in water and just mack them down.
That seems like they'd weigh more then, but maybe.
Now, Kurt, my question is, should the Food and Drug Administration allow this to happen?
Well, there's a new role for the future hot dog police.
Beyond imagination.
Maybe Homeland Security ought to get involved. Yeah. You said it was 72?
Yeah.
Huh. One ABC News report says 70 hot dogs in 12 minutes. Then
no,
BBC
it's 10 minutes,
says,
first of all.
Oh, wow, these guys are misreporting stuff. Then one guy says,
70
BBC
was last
says,
year, bro.
72
that's
Frankfurters
right.
eating Nathan's
right.
hot
yes, they
dog
got it, right?
eating contest.
Telling you, 70 was last year, bro, and it's 10 minutes, the time frame.
Wow.
Pretty sure.
I mean.
You can study the Nathan's, historic annual
this
hot dog
guy,
eating
Joey Chestnut, has won this for 10 straight years.
Dude, you can't beat this guy.
Yeah, it was 72 hot dogs in 10 minutes to win his 10th contest in 11 years. I guess he got beat once in there. He said, there's no secret. I love to eat, and I love doing it. I love to win, so I had to figure out my body and push it to the limit.
Uh-huh.
It's like,
so no selling chickweed, yes to macking down 72 hot dogs in public.
Yeah.
And we're going to care
20,160 fat, 1,296 grams.
And we're going to care about people's health and just make sure that people are safe. You know
what
I mean?
The next person was Carmen. She or he got second, ate 62 hot dogs. Miko Sudo won the women's contest, eating 41 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes. It was her fourth consecutive women's title.
See, why would they have a woman's title? What a bunch of sexist thugs. Come on.
I mean,
put her in the mix. How many did she eat?
42.
Now, I want to know why the heck she's so far behind. Why is she so far behind? I mean, she barely ate over half of what Joey did.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not fair.
I don't understand why she doesn't just, in fact, what I think Joey ought to do is join the women's league.
Wow. That guy's a real winner.
Oh, man.
And ABC News covering it, I mean, you know, a story like that, you can't cover things like, you know, the Federal Reserve and, you know, getting rid of the income tax when you got, you know, good stories like, you know, a hot dog story to cover, you know?
Now, that's why I'm holding you to this story.
Yeah, that's right.
Not letting you move on.
That's right.
Now, Kurt, before we get there, I guess Volvo's in the news, huh? The car people?
Well, that's right. Looks like they have plans to go completely electric, going to abandon the conventional car engine by 2019. You know, this is 2017, so this isn't that far away. The CEO there has reiterated the target of selling 1 million electric cars and hybrids by 2025. Anyway, that's interesting.
My question to the CEO is how much subsidizing are you going to get for that plan, buddy?
Oh, yeah.
Because without it, I bet you'll abandon the plans in about 5 seconds flat.
Mm-hmm. It is amazing to see it, you know, at least to see some of the changes. I mean, I see places where you got places you can plug in your electric car, you know. That's kind of different.
Yeah, know? If everybody's plugging in their car, why do we care who's got the cheapest gas, Kurt?
Well, that's a good point. But right now, apparently in Cleveland, by the way, that's Tennessee, not Cleveland, Ohio. But Cleveland, Tennessee's got the cheapest gas. They say it's $1.67 there. We're hitting about $2.40, I think.
How much is it there?
We're $1.67.
Now, I got a question. Why do they put Cleveland 10 and they put T-E-N-N, Kurt? Why don't they just put T-N?
Well, good point. I don't know. You know, 10.
It confuses me. At first, I thought it was like Cleveland 10, the TV station there. And then I'm like, no, that means Tennessee, I guess.
Yes.
Has cheapest gas in America. Does that make you happy, Kurt? You want to drive to Tennessee and get some gas?
I think I'll drive there to save money.
That's a good plan. You know, you got to kind of wonder, though, why is it so much cheaper in some areas and so expensive in other areas and stuff like that, too?
Well, they say a glut of oil supplies and only modest summertime gains in consumption have combined to keep oil and gas prices in check. What do you say it is, Sam? I'll tell you what I think.
I say 90% of it's government subsidy, government taxation, government, whenever they want, they create this, what's it called, storage of gas or whatever, storage of oil.
Mm-hmm.
Then you manipulate around the world and play games with other nations. You create this OPEC drug, I mean, a gas cartel out there, globally speaking, and then you squeeze the little guy on the bottom that owns gas stations and this and that, and pretty soon you get these corporate gas groups that just have all this buying power. And what you really get is a rich oil tycoon group backed by banking cartels, and then you pretend it's all in the private sector, but it's all really staged, manipulated markets, globally speaking. And it trickles down to the fact that they just want to, you know, play games with the prices. And so they'll store more gas, or they'll release gas from the reserves, or they'll blow up a plant, I mean, a gas refining facility here. They'll, OPEC will decide to do that there, and then we'll, you know, and it's just a big old theatrical public fiasco game, in my opinion, Kurt.
Well, I'll give you a couple of ideas that I think is going on in the whole gas world, and that is, number one, supply and demand. Even though we've been told forever that, you know, this is fossil fuel, and as soon as all those dinosaurs are, you know, gone that, you know, come, that make the oil, then there won't be any more of it. That's a lie.
Why don't they just start growing dinosaurs in a Petri dish then?
Yeah, good point. So there's a whole bunch of guys getting oil, you know, different places around the world, including right here in America, Sam. And then you've got, you know, you throw in competition, that means, you know, other ways for people to move around. You know, for example, we just talked about these electric, you know, cars. Those are going to make competition in this whole energy world, and then that's going to make it so that, hey, it keeps those prices better. It's almost a little bit of free enterprise breaking out, you know? I mean, it's pretty
amazing. Boy, do I wish it were true.
What it works. Like I say, almost, you know? If you can just get the government to only do what they're supposed to do, then imagine how that would work.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess the part of the problem, though, is that you can't really decide where you live and how much gas is where you're at or do anything about it, can you? Why do you think there's different prices in different areas for gas? You think it's all supply and demand?
I do. Well, that's part of it. But I also know that they certain areas make the refineries put certain things into the gas.
In other words, you're saying government, you know, based on seasons, mixes with the mess, by law, decides the gas can have different components?
That's right.
So that's just more government intervention, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you think OPEC, the international...
I mean, without that, Sam, just think where we'd be. I mean, without all that government intervention...
What, your car might run better? Consistent fuel for your vehicle?
Yeah, imagine that.
The cost would be less because you wouldn't have all these government subsidies and mandated additives and such like that.
Wow. Now that you bring it up.
Now, basically, I mean, you'd probably only drive 1 mile per gallon on your car, Kurt, if that all happened.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
A mile a gallon you'd be looking at, probably. I mean, you know, it's the mandate of the government. That's what I'm saying. It's this big fiasco with so many things, so many factors at play that it's a tampered economy, to say the least. And the fuel efficiency mandates from Barack Obama and previous presidents like George Bush all the way to Jimmy Carter and beyond, you know, they mandated, you know, this manipulation in gas prices. And then they mandate the fuel efficiency for vehicles. And so then companies end up cheating, right? And how many companies are cheating now just to try to meet the standards that are unachievable, Kurt? And then you go right into that.
Well, it seems like, I mean, who was it that, was it not Volvo? I think it was Volkswagen did that. It's a little while back and got big time in trouble. And, you know, those are not, at least in my opinion, some things that government ought to be doing. The market ought to be taking care of that.
Well, Volkswagen, I mean, yeah. You would think that they've been funding Liberty Roundtable with the abuse they took.
Yeah.
Good point. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Drive to Tennessee if you want to get your cheap gas. It's available now, ladies and gentlemen. Other than that, you can just pay through the nose. All right. Well, the sooner we get government out of the middle of a lot of these things, the better off would be. Let the free enterprise system work, would you please? Both hours in the can. Hard-hitting talk radio at your fingertips. Please donate and get involved today. Every penny will help us grow our presence as we take center stage in the media. The new media is, after all, taking center stage and making the rules. All right. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com, LibertyNewsDaily.com. We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. Will you help? This nation shall endure.